you are watching the news and the global upheaval that we are facing and all the challenges that we're facing, it is written. So prepare yourself. And my hope is that this sermon series, Transform, is a preparation for us, that we all receive from the Holy Spirit this conviction to walk in the light. And the message that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to the church is, shepherd my people into the holiness of the Father. Repent, walk in the light, obey the commandments, and you will be clothed with Christ one day. And as this message keeps being preached around the world in the 21st century, this sermon series is all about how a passionate spiritual disciple, how a child of God can walk among the unbelievers and in the marketplace and even in the church and show the world what is all about, what the kingdom is all about. I believe also with all my heart that the world is hungry to see what God can do with a child of God, a church that submits to you, Jesus and the Word of God. It will be powerful, and all this bad testimony that we have in the world from Christianity has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus, he is the king. And if you ask him for how long he will be your king, it will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and forevermore. So this is why it's best, it's in our best interest to surrender and align ourselves to him. So let's go back to the scriptures and reflect about this powerful passage in Romans 12, where Paul moves from doctrine to practice, which is the core of the Christian life, that we just go from the scriptures to practice. And in chapter 11, he's making his case about Israel. He's saying Israel have been rejected by God because the unbelief. And he's encouraging all of us, the Gentiles, to pay attention to Israel and learn that God, even God, loves Israel. And even though Israel is the people of God, regardless of what people say, Israel is still the people of God. Why? I have news for you. Jesus is Jewish. Hello? He's not going to reject his people. Okay? So these are the people of God. I mean, they are not perfect, full of flaws. There is a lot of secular actions and secularism in Israel, of course. But they are still the people of God. What God is saying to us through Paul in chapter 11 is, learn from Israel. Even though God loved them, they have been rejected. But the rejection and the rebellion of Israel is translated into grace and salvation for the world. Now that Israel has been rejected, now we have grace and salvation. And then he's saying, receive the grace of God and remember this, grace is not a license for you and I to sin. Grace is a gift for you and I to be free from judgment when Christ comes. And as we embrace that, he's saying, learn from Israel. They are the roots and you are the branches. If the root is holy, then the branches are also holy. And as we embrace this understanding, then he's saying, remember this, live out this way. That's why Romans 12 starts by saying, therefore. Every time a chapter in the Bible says, it starts with therefore, it's a cue to go back and look the chapter before that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this is the way this understanding builds up. First, you want to offer your body as a living sacrifice, but that is only possible if your mind is transformed. Which means that every Sunday, every day of the week, especially on Sundays, sometimes you don't want to come. You don't want to worship. You have personal issues. You are tired. You are frustrated. You are depressed. You are sad. You are anxious. Your children are acting out, and your wife and your spouse or your husband is not loving this week. But guess what? You are going to worship anyway. Why? Because you are going to offer your body as a what? As a living sacrifice. You know, and when you do that, then God will build you up. Now, how I can press forward and offer my body as a living sacrifice? Easy. I have to spend time where? In the scriptures. Allowing the scriptures to transform my mind. And once my thoughts are transformed, then my actions will follow. And that's the journey. The journey is that when I'm thinking right, I'm going to feel what? Right. So when people are sad, stop asking, why are you sad? And begin to ask, what are you thinking? Because the source of that sadness is what people have on their minds. They're having thoughts that are contrary to what the scriptures are. And then he says that only after your mind is renewed, then he says, after your mind is renewed, then you will be able to test and approve the will of God. In other words, this Bible, the scriptures, have been sent by God to us, revealing the will of God. So every time I read this, if there is a disconnect, if there is a misalignment between what I feel, what I think, and the word of God, it's time for me to redirect my thoughts and surrender my thoughts, because only those who have a transformed mind can see that the will of God is perfect. If you don't have a transformed mind, you're going to go, oh, that's not for me. Oh, no, that's the Old Testament. No, this is a historical book. No, that's in Hebrew and Greek means what? If your Hebrew, if your Greek, if your theology, if your degrees takes you away from the message of the kingdom, I have news for you. Forget about your degrees and forget about Hebrew and forget about all of that, because it's simple, it's easy. Only if you have a transformed mind. And when we embrace this, God will say, you can lie to yourself, you can lie to the world, but you cannot lie to me. Then God says, you can lie to other people, but you cannot lie to yourself. That's why self-assessment through faith is key, because you have to be able to spend time with God, looking in the mirror, and find yourself in that position where you know that you need Christ. And because of that, even though you have all these flaws, all these areas of growth, all these weaknesses, all these thoughts, all these issues, you still know that in Christ there is no condemnation for you. And because you are in Christ, now you can take all these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, I have no power against my thoughts in terms of how many thoughts come to my mind. I cannot stop those thoughts, because within me, I have this connection between the old self and the new self. My old self is going to be always sending fleshy thoughts to my mind, and then my new thoughts have to be submitting those thoughts in the name of Jesus. So I'm not guilty of allowing these fleshy thoughts come to me, because I am one person. I am guilty of having those thoughts looping in my mind for weeks. That's the problem, when I have the power to say to the thoughts, stop, in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to redirect how I feel and how I act. So if I don't want to worship this morning because I'm tired, and I am, guess what? Who cares? It is Sunday, and you show up, and you preach the gospel, and you do it again, and there is no amount of money in this world who can make me get up in the morning. That those of you that have been working for years, you have done so knowing and with the conviction that you are going to finish and keep working, because you have that responsibility. And even if you go back to bed late, you get up in the morning. Why? Because you know that that's what you need to do. It's a matter of discipline. It's a matter of conviction. And you do it. It comes from your values. Yes or no? So Why we do different with the kingdom? It's the same thing. I don't want to serve. Okay, guess what? Who cares? You come and serve. That's what it's all about. That's it's all about. And I've been teaching even my family all the time. I said, when you decide to have pleasure, as long as you are willing to pay a price for your pleasures, I have no problem with it. For example, if I say I'm going to watch this movie and it's already 11 p.m., I know I should be in bed, but guess what? I want to watch the movie. So what I do? I watch the movie. I have no problem with that. Watch the movie. The problem is if you get up next day and you start complaining, I'm tired. I don't want to do this. I'm not going to work. I'm going to serve. I'm going to worship because I went to bed late. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a character issue. Because if you did that, you know what you are doing. You take responsibility for your feelings and you get up and next day you do what you need to do. You do that, I don't care if you watch TV at 11. But if you don't do that, next time I'm seeing watching TV, I'm going to turn the TV off and say, what are you doing? Then tomorrow, you don't want to do what it needs to. Is that complicated? It's simple. It's simple. And that's what God is saying to us, that we need to have this commitment for spiritual worship, this total surrender, allowing God to work through us, renewing our minds in this world pattern against the kingdom pattern and see how the culture and this shape our thinking that to conform to this world. But you have to renew your mind and reject all these thoughts, all this idea of purposes and aligning in yourself. Everything is about you. When the kingdom of God is all about Christ. And the moment you come to the media, whatever platform you use, you're going to see, follow your passion, follow your dreams. Your happiness is first. Your happiness is the priority. And it doesn't matter what happened. You take care. You take matters on your own hand. Follow your passion. Follow your life. Follow your happiness. And then you have divorce, and you have people, friends betraying friends, and people betraying partners in the name of, I need to be happy. I need my promotion. But that's my life. That's the world. But in the kingdom of God, you know what the Bible says? Die to yourself. Die to your passion. Die. Surrender. Wow. Isn't that pleasant? You put other people first. That's what the kingdom of God says. In the world, they say, if you put other people first, you are wrong. That's not okay. You are sick. That's called codependency. In the kingdom of God says, put other people first. That's the kingdom. Love your neighbor. It's a challenge that we have as we embrace all this self-centered life in the world, comparing with God-centered life that we are calling to do. Now, how do we align ourselves to Jesus on the cross? Well, honest evaluation. You look at yourself. You understand this pattern that your thoughts affects your emotions. Your emotions affects your action. Your actions affect your character. Your character affects your destiny. So if you end up south, it's because first you have a thought about going south. It's too late now. You are already south. So if you don't want to end up south, from the moment you get the first thought, change it. That's the only way. That's why when people go and you see them in any destiny that you see them, that destiny is the result of their thoughts. The results of their thought life. So when you look at the mirror, you don't like what you see, blame yourself. And start blaming your mama and your daddy. You are 50. Hello? At some point, you're going to stop blaming your daddy and your mom and your uncle and your neighbor. And at some point, you have to say, this is me. I am the one. Even Satan is a spirit of influence. He cannot make you do anything. He's a spirit of influence. He can influence you, but the power to make the decision is for you. That's why the Bible says, let your actions, let your words be amen in Christ. Everything you do, be in Christ. And when you understand this, you have this balanced view. It's not easy to lie to you or to be deceived by the enemy. And God is showing us and connecting in Romans 12 the Ten Commandments with the Beatitudes and the actions and the cross. And when we come together, it's this idea that first, everything starts with me. That's why you have two tablets. God is so powerful. Do you think that God doesn't have the power to create one tablet with all the commandments? Why he created two tablets? Why two tablets? Easy. The first tablet is all about you. It's personal. The second tablet of the commandments is community. The first tablet is love God, God first, God first. That's all about you. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's about you. Do not take, keep the Sabbath. That's about you. Honor your parents and your mother. That's about you. But then after you get that, and now you are transformed by that, now you are ready to go into community. Because in the second tablet, everything is about other people. You shall not steal from whom? From other people. You shall not commit adultery. Don't take other people's spouses. You should not covet. Stop looking at stuff and getting and wanting what they have. And when the moment you do that, now you are transformed. So if you are transformed by the first five, you are going to be an awesome citizen. Because now you are ready to live in community. Does that make sense? And that's maturity right there. Because the moment you are born, you are born and you go, I need everything. I need my mama to give me everything. That's dependency. You are depending on your mama for everything. And then you grew up a little bit. Now you are independent. Now you are growing away. You are running away from mama. That's independency, and that's okay. But you cannot keep running like that. At some point, you have to look back and start reflecting on being poor in spirit, being humble, understanding who you are, understanding what God gave you, your gift and graces. And the moment you understand that, now you said, I'm going not in an independency, I'm going into interdependency. Now I know what my gifts are, and I know how my gift complement your gift, because we are better together. That's why people in church sometimes, they cannot connect, because they are still stuck in independency. And what Jesus is teaching us through all of this, throughout the community, is that we are better together. We need one another. We need to complement our gifts and graces. There is many roles. There is many gifts. We are here together for mutual edification, building up the whole community. There is unity in diversity. Many members, one body. San John Community Church. And the moment we embrace that, God will come and sweep and understand that we are interconnected, that we have a shared purpose, that even though we have many members, many shades, many gifts, we are one. We are one in Christ. Are we ready to start giving back to God? Are we ready to allow in God to show ourselves our gifts given by grace, not by merit? And then we start discovering our gifts. That's independency. And now interdependency. Now let's go and serve one another. And that's why Paul was using the body as the example. Imagine that the head says, he's using the body, the head says, let's go eat. And the legs, your legs will say, nah, I don't feel like it. So then the hands get mad. And your hand says, really? I've been moving stuff all week. You're not going to move. Me either. Before you know it, now you are eating. If you find something to eat, like this. And before you know it, your mouth says, I'm tired. I'm not going to chew anything. Now your stomach is upset. And before you finish the day, you will be like in shock. Well, same thing happens here at St. John. Every time we ask you to do something, we ask you to use your gifts and graces, we ask you to walk in your purpose, and if you help us, the church will be blessed. But if you don't, that will happen to us. You have gifts and graces. You are not here by chance. The Holy Spirit has kept you here because many things have happened here. And the only reason you are here is because the Holy Spirit has kept you here. Because by your flesh, it's time to run, including me who are preaching. But guess what? Something more powerful than us, someone more powerful than us has kept us here. Why? Because Jesus is still the head of the church and we are his body. That's why we are here and we're going to continue here until Christ comes. And that's the beauty of the kingdom of God. Just serving him, acting in all these gifts. If you have prophecy, Paul says, prophesy. If you have service, serve. If you are a teacher, teach. If you are an encourager, encourage people. Giving, give. Leading, lead. Mercy, show mercy. Wow. We do that and we're going to be transformed. This is the commandment. You shall not murder. You shall not be angry with your brother, with your sister. Connect all these gifts. Preserve the dignity of the community. Protect the church above anything else. And God will come and restore his bride because even now, he's still the groom. This is his church, his bride, not mine, not mine. So every time I have an issue, you know what I said to God? Hey, your bride, take care of her. I'm not the broom. I'm not the broom. That's why I go and I sleep well. I say that and go... That's it. That's it. Why? Because I know that this is his bride. Do you know when you go in the Hispanic countries, we have something called serenatas. So you go and you are in love with a girl and you go and you start singing songs, right? You hire someone. If you don't know how to sing, you hire someone and they start playing until she opens the door of the room or something and say something. And they are playing. They are playing. They are playing. And then when she shows up, then you sing a little bit, awful most of the time. But the idea is you get the attention of the bride. But the broom is the one looking at the bride. The musicians should be playing. And doesn't matter if your voice is beautiful, you don't attract the attention of the bride to you. It's all about the broom. And if the broom sees you doing something, we'll look at you and say, hey, you are here because I pay you to be here. So calm down. It's about me and her. This is the same for us. Do not take attention from the bride to you. The broom is Jesus. He's the one who is coming. He's the one who is serving. He's the one who is loving his church. So this is her bride. This is his bride. Therefore, everything will be fine. We only have to be and continue playing. We have been paid to play. Pay how? The blood on the cross. He paid for us. Our responsibility to stay here and keep the bride looking at the broom. That's it. That's it. Easy. So we do that. And we're going to experience a grace, the anointing, the presence of God. God is calling us to be peacemakers, to be merciful, to love one another, to walk in these kingdom values, to work in harmony, to understand love, to be genuine with our love, no hypocrisy, devoted to one another, zeal, favor, spiritual favor, passion. Don't be lukewarm. Just be passionate about your faith. Show that. Don't be two-faced. Be authentic. God hates pretenders. People don't like pretenders. Even if I ask you, do you like pretenders? People who pretend being one person and then another person behind your back? You don't like that. And when you discover, you stop it. Because you have to end up the relationship with anyone who destroys your reputation, anyone who causes you to lose financial gain that you use for your family, anyone who betrays you, walk away from that person. Pray for that person, but walk away. Because we don't like pretenders. God either likes pretenders. He's looking for what? Authenticity. How many of you want to have an authentic friend? How many of you would like to have an authentic spouse? How many of you want to have an authentic children? We all want that. So God wants the same from us. And this idea of hating evil, holding fast to what is good. Hating evil. If you want to imitate God, easily. Love, love God. Love your neighbor and hate evil. walk away from evil. This is different challenges in the world. We are different. People are different. And sometimes we react because we don't know. We are fearful of what we don't understand. If I see a person that is different color, different language, with an accent or whatever, I don't understand. There is a fear. There is that. That's fine. But love transcends all of that. And now you connect with the person, knowing that everyone has been created in the image of God. Therefore, I'm going to take a step closer and see. I'm going to be curious. I'm going to ask questions. Tell me about your culture. Tell me about who you are. Tell me about your food. Tell me about your values. Tell me about your family. Tell me about your country. And before you know it, now you understand. It's so easy to love when you understand. But if you do this, no, I don't know. I don't know. He's different. She's different from me. You're not going to live out in community. You're going to walk away. So this spiritual passion translates into being active in service. And if you keep yourself grounded in the Word of God, in the Beatitudes, in the Ten Commandments, you're going to have this zeal for the gospel. You're going to have this patience, this passion, this fervent, being fervent in the Spirit of the Lord. And you're going to encourage others to do the same. And when we do that, God will show up like never before. Every person that shows up here will experience the power of the Holy Spirit. The commitments of us to Jesus will impact other people. Fear is contagious. Boldness is contagious too. Hate is contagious. Love is also contagious. So you decide. That's why when Paul is using Israel as an example for us to look at it, is to say, hey, learn from them and repent. Because one day they will repent and the Messiah will come and restore them to the righteous place. That's why, regardless of what happened, there is a list in the world. Those who are in favor of Israel, those who are against Israel. I'm telling you, I don't want to be in any list that is against Jesus, against Israel, or anything like that. I will pray for Israel. I know that they do things that are bad. I don't condone everything they do, but I'm not going to be against Israel ever. Why? Because Jesus is a Jew. I'm not going to do that. But at the same time, I am called to evaluate and assess. Same thing with the church and same thing with myself. There are things in myself that I don't like and I have to reject and repent. Same thing with Israel. Same thing with St. John. Same thing with the community. Same thing with my own family. Does that make sense? That balance, that commitment, that understanding, that spiritual favor, just filtering the world through the scriptures. And now you're going to have this hunger for righteousness, for being merciful. And then he says, after you position yourself like that, you're going to have a pure heart. And this is what God says. Blessed are those with a pure heart, because they will see who? God. God. How many of you want to see God? I want to see God. Then the only way is take that hand and put it here and make sure that your heart is in the right place. Make sure that you are seeking God. Make sure that you are walking in this personal transformation, that you are activating your spiritual gift, that you are demonstrating genuine love. You are authentic. You are not a pretender. You love people with their flaws, with their actions, with their good actions, their bad actions. You love them all. And when you do that, God will bless us. Let's pray. Holy Father, transform us from the inside out. Make us living sacrifices. Unite us in your body and fill us with genuine love. May our life demonstrate the reality of your transforming power. Through Christ our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
As we close out our wonderful worship this morning of remembering this is our God.
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim, this is our God, King Jesus.
Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail, and he never will. Our God is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does.
Help us. May the God of transformation renew your mind, unite your heart with his people, and empower your service. Go forth as living testimonies of his transforming grace. Go in peace. Amen.
This is our God.